Welcome to the Spectrum of Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Christine Schaffner, and today I'm talking to my dear friend, Masami Covey, about the moon and menopause. Masami leads women in rediscovering the wisdom of lunar cycles through menopause and beyond, applying a blend of Japanese moon medicine, physiology, nutritional science, and 25 plus years of clinical experience. Masami was born and raised in Japan in a bicultural family, and she draws from her East-West blend of culture, language, science, and energy medicine. Masami holds an MS in international business, and her professional training includes functional nutritional therapy, yoga therapy, positive neuroplasticity, Ayurveda, and applied linguistics. I always love having these conversations with Masami really in my life, and now you get to enjoy them on the podcast. Have a beautiful day and enjoy listening. Welcome, Masami. It's such an honor to have you. This is your second time on the podcast, and we have a really fun topic. We are dear friends, and we have these conversations on our chats, on our cell phones while we're walking, you know, together, right? We were just commenting. And, you know, I think this is such an important topic, as well as I've shared with my audience, my word of the year and the year of the dragon is rhythm. And I am trying to really connect to the rhythms of life and how we're interconnected on that level. And so this is like just an awesome rabbit hole to go down and realize our connection to the lunar cycles. So I'm so excited for us to have this conversation.
Me too. I know. I'm so excited, and let's dig deeper into this.
Yeah, absolutely. So Masami, why don't you just fill me in about how you just like what piqued your curiosity? I mean, we obviously see the full moon and new moon cycle every month, but how did you start taking it another level deep to look at our connection to hormones and life and health with the moon cycle?
It's called menopause. That I have hit my menopause and postmenopause. And really, that's what piqued my interest so much more. You know, before I grew up in Japan, so we do use lunar solar calendars. So I was always used to understanding the moon cycles and living based on the moon cycles. And in Japan, we celebrate a lot of different phases of the moon, different seasonal side of the moon. And, you know, because the seasons, the four seasons are controlled by the moon, right? Mm-hmm. If we didn't have this Earth as moon as our sister or our maybe younger sister or older sister, I don't know which one, but then we don't have the four seasons, right? Mm-hmm. So growing up in Japan with the Shinto background, we will celebrate the lunar, but I didn't forget about it, but I think I put aside what the lunar cycles was all about in my own physiology until I hit menopause and went into postmenopause. And I thought, oh my gosh, I am so intrigued by the rhythm of things now again, much more than when I was having the monthly cycles, the menstruation cycles. So that's what intrigued me, and that's taking me on this really deep dive journey, and deep and dark and also up and light, right? Both directions. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. And it's such a, you know, beautiful insight because, you know, women are used to having this monthly rhythm that's, you know, through their internal hormonal system. And, you know, when we lose that, you know, we're looking for an anchor, right, in our life to, you know, just sense that timing and that rhythm and that change and shift within our body. And so how does the lunar cycle connect with your hormonal cycle, especially in the postmenopausal woman? I think we have talked about it on the podcast with a menstruating woman, which we're happy to, you know, add if we want to, but how does that affect the postmenopausal woman?
Yeah, so it continues to impact us. I mean, the moon cycles, moon rhythm continues to impact all of us, right? From little creatures to, you name it, sea urchins to little worms to butterflies to the birds, mm-hmm. to, you know, migrating birds and different animals and when they mate and when they go into resting and so on and so forth. So it is impacting all of us. And then, I mean, let's face it, right? On the level of our plasma level, we are basically water, right? 99.9% water. Right? So of course that we're going to be impacted by it. But before I go into like nitty gritty of like how the hormones are impacted, Well, that is taking me on the like several years journey trying to figure this out. And also through my own personal physical body, understanding it, but also working with other mostly menopause and postmenopausal women. And so clinically, but also now I'm diving into the science behind it. But I wanted to kind of give you, before I go into that, there's this such thing as cultural bias to solar versus lunar.
Yeah.
So there's this like a division in the middle of the scientific field, especially chronobiology fields. Mm-hmm. We are so emphasizing the Gregorian calendar side, right? So we love to study circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to circa lunar rhythm, actually a lot of the scientists are a little bit afraid to come out and say that the moon does impact human rhythms. And especially in the Western society. So there are a lot of studies coming out of like China, Japan, Korea, India, Russia, Eastern European countries. But when it comes to in the Middle East and things like that, they love studying the lunar cycles and then how the circa lunar cycles impact our bodies. Mm-hmm. But it just gets kind of pushed aside, almost looked at as you could get ridiculed if you studied the lunar. But that tides, okay, and a pun intended, but tides are changing a little bit. So in the last, like I would say 2022 onward, there have been so many more studies that are coming out around how the moon cycles are impacting everything from our melatonin productions to sleep cycles, obviously with that lymphatic system, the sizes of the brain that changes based on the lunar cycles and so on and so forth. So I'm really, really excited. I feel I've been called to do this work at the right timing because there's such thing as right timing to be studying this. And I will go into the women and menopause shortly here, but NASA even calls the moon as its own tuning fork to study other planetary systems. And, you know, there've been a lot of journeys that many different, even private companies and things like that are sending little rockets and shuttles and things like that to the moon. So I think we are finally entering in again in the realm of how does this moon that it's always around for us impacts all of us who we are. And so let's start with the kind of the seasonality of things, right? So four. So I'm starting to see like rule of fours all over the place. So think about the brain, right? Brain has four major lobes, okay? We have four limbs. We have four seasons. We have main four elements on this earth, right? And we have four chambers in your heart, right? So you start to go through your body and you start to see all these fours everywhere. I mean, you know, it's kind of like if you're trying to buy a red car, you start to see red cars everywhere on the street. So that's kind of what's happening to me. And on the overall point of view, we always talk about the 24-hour cycles and it's the solar cycles. And then we need to look at the circadian rhythm. But almost no one's circadian rhythm is exactly 24 hours. And it's actually a little longer than a 24 hours. And so the lunar cycle is actually 24.8 hours. And many species, including us, go around in about 24.5 hours per day. So really almost no one is living in the 24-hour cycles. So whose influence is that, right? So that's just kind of one of the things that I think about as I'm falling asleep. I'm like, what is influence? But I will give you one thing that really matters. I mean, there are many, many things, like even oxytocin gets influenced by the lunar cycles. But for women, melatonin is a key, you know, and I'm sure you know that the melatonin is a hormone, but it's also a neurotransmitter, and it does so much more. You and I had this conversation. It's like all roads lead to melatonin, and I think that's truly true. But then what is controlling melatonin? Because I started to go, okay, well, then who's controlling melatonin? That's where I started to go to the moon side, because the science is now starting to show that your pineal gland is considered to be your lunar sensor organ. Okay. This is where we are sensing the gravitational forces of the moon. Not necessarily, I mean, there's a light matters because, you know, the darkness is important for pineal gland and all that. But this lunar sensor where it produces majority of the melatonin, obviously the gut produces it too, but that gets influenced by the lunar cycle. So when we're heading towards the full moon, especially, I mean, this is for all across everyone, but the sleep cycles get disrupted, and postmenopausal women, that's one of the biggest complaints that I actually hear, is that they just can't sleep through the night. And I work on their blood sugar regulations, and I will work on their, you know, how to create sleep conditions. I mean, make sure room is cooler and, you know, get the curtains and eye masks if you need it. And you do all kinds of things, but they're still struggling heading up to the full moon. Mm-hmm. That's because the melatonin level dramatically decreases as you head towards the full moon.
Oh, that's so interesting. I never had considered that. As you know, we've talked a lot about melatonin. I'm a big fan of studying the pineal gland just from the physical impact on today's, you know, kind of all the toxic and exposures and all the stress our pineal gland goes through, but also this beautiful other kind of esoteric side of the pineal gland of connection and,
right,
you know, connecting to the unseen and invisible forces of life. And so have you, I mean, you're so contemplative, like, do you have any sense of why the melatonin is decreasing as we're getting to the full moon? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, I have, because the pineal gland is so sensitive. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's so down in the darkness, right? I mean, it's never sees the light per se, right? Mm-hmm. But it is such a sensitive spot. I mean, it's the third eye, right? In energetic fields. And it's a lunar sensors. And what they're finding is the pineal gland has this like a accumulation of sand. So the mm-hmm. brain sand, or you could call it the calcification kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're very familiar with that as well, I'm sure. But that accumulation begins as soon as you come into this world. And I know it's a little bit esoteric, but what I'm seeing is like hourglass, you know, that when you come into this world with a full of sand, right? And then that sand begins to accumulate right in your pineal gland, okay? And then once all the sand drains, mm-hmm. and then when you're fully, like, so your time is up, mm-hmm. that's when your life is over. But who is controlling that is this very sensitive spot in your brain that is always communicating with the moon. Yeah. I know I'm not necessarily answering your questions, but no. The pineal gland is super sensitive to gravitational force. So it's sensitive to the daylight. So it's important that you get the sunlight, especially in the morning, to support the production of the melatonin. Mm-hmm. But it's also important to know that there's something much, much bigger going on, that this center is communicating directly with basically time maker, you know? Yeah. So zeitgeist or something it's called, but basically the time is being kept inside who we are right at that spot. And now when the hourglass empties out, your time is up on this earth. And I think that's incredible to me, right?
Mm-hmm. I've never had these thoughts. So this is something I'm going to be, you know, thinking about a lot. And I mean, we're always sensing, feeling, connecting with our environment, you know, on the planet and, you know, out, you know, through space and, you know, the ether and the moon, other planets, we're completely interconnected. So I'm not surprised there's that connection. And you know, I just want to comment about the full moon and behavior and sleep. And it is definitely a time when I get more calls in my office, you know, people who work in hospital settings, I'm friendly with some, you know, there's always more calls in the ER. And, you know, there's something definitely creating more activity in the physical body that is stressful for some. And so, no, I absolutely see that moon, the full moon pulling and shifting people's physiology. And, you know, feel free to comment anything you'd like on that, Masami. And then I want us to, we think a lot about the full moon, but there's also this other aspect of the dark moon.
Right, right. So, you know, when you think about the pineal gland, right? So the sand is accumulating right on that spot, but it doesn't accumulate right away when you're younger, right? So when you're younger, you're even more sensitive to the lunar cycles as well. So there's this really cool study that came out in April of last year, 2023, that this circadian rhythm impacting younger children. So they studied to age 2 to 6 or so, and they do get impacted by the melatonin levels based on the lunar cycles. So, you know, for those of you that have little kiddos that won't go to bed, you know, leading up to the full moon, make sure you do like a family exercises together, you know, leading up to the full moon so they do get some sleep, because that disruption of the melatonin can impact not only your sleep, but your levels of blood sugar regulations, to brain health, to blood pressure, to, you know, your body temperature, to even functions of your sex organs, but also steroid hormones too. So how your sperm counts go up or down based on that too is impacted by the full moon. And then also estrogen and progesterone productions too. So, you know, pay attention, right, to the leading up to the full moon. And that's when we produce a little bit more serotonin as well, leading up to it, because the melatonin serotonin relationships are kind of opposing to each other too. Yeah. So when the serotonin goes up, you're going to have a little bit more increase in parasitic activities, maybe other fungal, yeast, bacterial, you know, increase. And then they get kind of excited, excitatory kind of things is what serotonin does to them. So if you, that's a great time to kind of check in with your body and say, you know, what's going on with my dreams? You know, is it getting really vivid? I mean, sometimes the full moon can impact you so that you can have a lot more vivid dreams, but maybe that impact is coming from the parasites and maybe things like, you know, watch your children, like, are they grinding their teeth in the middle of the night? Are they thrashing around all night? You know, you find the kid on the floor by the time the morning comes, you know, during the full moon, leading up to full moon, maybe look into something like gut dysbiosis or even SIBO, but also parasitic things. So that's a couple of things that I wanted to say there.
Yes.
And then the opposite side, right, which is one of my favorite times, especially for menopause and postmenopausal women. This is when we can really heal a lot of things, is leading up to the new moon. And I call that period actually dark moon. So it's about 2 to 3 days prior to the new moon is when you could barely see the moon in the sky, right? That's when you can actually begin to tap into more of a sleep, deeper sleep. You actually sleep a lot more, 30% more sleep you get during that time leading up to the new moon than leading up to the full moon. So there's such thing as you can catch up to sleep. You know, there are not many things in life that you can catch up to, but yes, sleep is one of those things that you can actually do to catch up, right? So for us, I think it's very important, you know, and then like when you're going towards the new moon, and especially right at the new moon is when our brain actually shrinks in size. Okay. So there's a squeeze that happens to your glymphatic system. And I know you know all about the glymphatic system, but it's a beautiful time to really clear some of the debris. You know, I call it even like a karmic debris. It could be tension, traumas, you know, different patterns that you've been repeating inside you. Start, you know, even with toxic materials, heavy metals, things like that, that you can maybe clear out. So I think that's a really good time to arrange your time of the month to say, okay, maybe I will do some sinus clearing during that time leading up to the new moon, using that dark moon period, because your body is wanting to drain naturally so you don't go against that rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've always thought about, but I've never had the wherewithal to do yet to really create protocols around these rhythms, because, you know, when people come to see me, I often just kind of see the overview and the trajectory and give them tools. all of that. However, you know, we're always changing as, you know, every day we're changing based on the moon. You know, you're sharing and there are many other cycles, you know, that we're responding and reacting to. And so how do you navigate that? I'm just curious. I know that you also are a clinician and see clients. How do you, like, do you help gear their protocols at different times of the month? Just any clinical pearls you want to share?
Yes, clinical pearls. I love that. So you and I have had this talk, you know, our monthly walks that we do on the phones. You know, we don't live in the same state, but we do that, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love doing is oil cycling. So not seed cycling, but the oil cycling, because seeds are a little bit tough for almost anyone to digest and process. So to break it into the, you know, usable fatty acids, I think it requires a little bit more stomach acid. And then you have to have a good gut and a good gut lining to do that. So I like oil cycling. So in general, after about 5 to 6 days after the full moon, it's a really great time to start looking into, even though you're postmenopause, you can support your estrogen, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, your production of estrogen really does go down, but you want to still support that. So if you're doing bioidentical hormones or something like that too, and it, you know, of course, you know, please talk to your physician and the doctors that you're working with. But that's a really, I'm seeing it clinically speaking, to work on estrogen, even estrogen cream during that time a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And oil cycling wise, doing things like evening primrose oil that's really balancing to your estrogen is a great thing to be using. I do like flaxseed oil during that time as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, adding things like that to support the estrogen production, I think that's great. Also like tea, like hibiscus tea. Hibiscus mm-hmm. teas are really good for estrogen and supporting your endogenous production of the estrogen. So using that time where you go from a new moon to give it about 5 days to 6 days or so after that. So mm-hmm. you're heading into the first quarter moon leading up to the full moon, maybe even just like a day before the full moon. That's a really good time to say, what can I do for my estrogen? So adding some of these foods, even like good quality for me, doing things like fermented soy products have been really helpful. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that in my clients that can handle non-GMO organic soy products, like even like tempeh or organically sprouted tofu. I use natto. I know in English that you, we call it natto or something like that, but we say in Japanese it's natto. But, you know, eating things like that to support the endogenous production of your estrogen is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then I usually give it about 3 to 4 days break after the full moon and let the body readjust to the waning cycles of the moon. And then that's when I like to start incorporating a little bit more support towards progesterone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oxytocin really fluctuates as well with estrogen and the progesterone too. But I'll talk about that briefly after this, but the progesterone time kicks in about, I would say, 5 days after the full moon for postmenopausal women. Mm-hmm. And this is a really good time to kind of start to relax into it, take some time for yourself. It's an introspective time. This is the time that you might want to do a little bit more like breathing exercises towards exhales. So less inhale emphasis and more of a letting go kind of thing. This is a great time to clean out your closet, right? Mm-hmm. But to support the progesterone, you want to do things like passion fruit tea. That's a really good one in terms of giving yourself the endogenous progesterone production. Mm-hmm. If you are doing bioidentical hormones, this is a really good time to emphasize the use of that. You know, whatever the sources that you're using, that would be a really good thing. And this is a nice conversation you can have with your physicians and the practitioners and say, hey, what about if I work with the moon cycles? Because I actually just read an article first time because I've been searching, because most everybody's been saying up to this point that you just need to use estrogen in the morning. Maybe if for those of you that need testosterone support, you use it generally in the morning hours. And in the evening, you do the progesterone. But something intuitively and something clinically, I've been working with, you know, literally thousands of these like postmenopausal women. And I started to hear their voices like they were doing it every day. Like every day was the same. Every day you woke up and, you know, what was that movie that, you know, every day was.
Groundhog Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Groundhog Day or, you know, some other ones, right? Like the, just the repeat. And then all of us women, we gather together and we're like, we don't feel that way. There's ebb and flow. So I started just kind of recommending it to people I work with. I said, well, what if you emphasize estrogen leading up to the full moon? And what do you know, what if we de-emphasize the estrogen and maybe helped out the progesterone as waning cycles? And I'm getting so many positive feedbacks. And I actually did read an article recently that said that you want to take some breaks with some of these things and you don't want to do the same thing 29.5 days. Every day is the same. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the more that you read about health, right, it's about variety and, you know, the gut microbiome, biodiversity and our microbes, all of the, you know, the foods we eat, all of this. And, you know, sometimes our rhythm, we can just get really stuck and just do the same thing all the time. And there's a time and a place for that, I'm sure. But this variety and adaptability and giving our body different input, I really think is, you know, where we need to go. I love this idea. And I think the research, you know, it's still, there's still a lot of confusion around hormones and, you know, it's really an individual choice based on many decisions. But, you know, probably those people who might be, you know, more cautious or more vulnerable to exogenous hormones, if you're cycling them, you know, in this way, that probably decreases, you know, any risk profiling too, you know, is kind of how I'm hearing you talk about it as well. And then, you know, what I'm also kind of tuning into is that we know like our ovaries shift and menopause and our adrenals take over. But what I'm hearing you say, the more that we realize and observe this connection with the moon cycles, there are shifts in our body that are, you know, happening because of that connection. And to tune into that, we're not like this body in isolation, having to try to figure this out all on our own and everything's depleted and we have no source of these hormones. It's like, no, if we tune into this greater connection in life, we also have support, which, yeah, I think that's a really new thought, you know? So
once I started to really explore that and it just experiment, right? Because there's really no science, like hard science that I can find at this point. So I have to listen to the women's voices, you know, I have to listen to these women that have been in postmenopause much, much longer than me, you know, decades longer than me. And as I listened to them, and then we started to kind of approach the hormones and hormone fluctuations with a more of a softer hold, you know, just be gentle with it. And there's such thing as ebb and flow and respect that kind of thing. And what I started to hear from these women is that they are feeling a lot more relaxed about it. So they're not stressed because they can't sleep it during the leading up to the full moon for 3 straight days. And they're really having a hard time. And I just tell them, you know, go buy yourself a really beautiful journal. Yeah. And maybe, you know, if you have to wake up in the middle of the night and you get some insights and enjoy the, you know, different messages that come to you instead of like, thinking, oh my gosh, how many milligrams of melatonin should I take so that I get my sleep? And yes, you know, this and this and that. Instead of that, relaxing into it has created, you know, I would say like Stephen Porges' work, like the polyvagal theory stuff started to kick in and say safety. I think a lot of these women started to feel safe around the 29.5 day cycles instead of 24 hours, like every day I must eat right. Every day I must sleep, you know, 8 hours a night. Every day I must have the balanced hormones. It's like, here's how kind of lunar cycles work. It's that, think of a sun is like, if I say, hey, Christine, let's meet on the phone at 8 a.m. Then you will definitely ask me, okay, 8 a.m. sounds good, but what day would that be in the calendar? You know, that what day of the calendar, of the season, that's the lunar influence. The time is the solar influence. So I think it's so important that we balance both, that there's a time of the day that you probably going to attend to your body at a different things in different time, when to eat, all that kind of thing. But there is this longer view that the if women can hold it, and it's more like if women are allowed to hold it a little bit lightly, then they begin to feel safe around what they're doing and not get this like, oh my gosh, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? So yeah, you're right about the cycling through the hormones, relax into it, because I think a lot of the practitioners out there are still, this is kind of new, you know, because we were so shut down from talking about hormones. We were so shut down from even discussing the importance of hormones since 2000, you know, early 2000. So over 20 years of not being able to kind of explore and support one another, we are all somewhat new to this field of supporting postmenopausal women, menopausal women, perimenopausal women's hormonal fluctuations. So if we can hold it a little lightly and mm-hmm. hold it from the standpoint of more of a monthly movement yeah. instead of daily, mm-hmm. I think we can all support one another better.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's so beautiful. And Masami, I know people are asking in their heads right now, like, how does Masami track her moon cycle, or how do we even keep any of this straight? Do you have any like pearls, or I mean, what do you do? I mean, I think we could learn from you of how you stay connected and stay in tune while life is so busy and trying to distract us from these things.
I think the moods are very important, as well as your body temperature is also important. So just as, you know, if you used to check your body temperature under armpit, basically, for whether you want to get pregnant or not, you know, that kind of things, it's still really relevant. I actually was talking to one of my friends who's also a practitioner, and she recently heard that in Amish community, they actually encourage people to continue to check their body temperatures, even in their menopause and postmenopause, so they can stay in the cycles. But for me personally, that's something that I am paying attention. I have yet to kind of check it, you know, like personally check it. Like I get busy with the day and I forget to do it kind of thing. I would like to start doing that. But for me, what I pay attention to is the moods and also a sense of like drop in oxytocin. So when I feel the drop in oxytocin, and when I'm needing a little bit more kind of a self-love, self-acknowledgement, like even in simple as like, let's say if I'm putting YouTube videos out there or something, and if I really need people's feedback that week, I know my oxytocin is dropping, and that means I am in the waning cycles of my moon. And I actually personally ask it, like I recorded in my YouTube video asking them, could you please, you know, give me thumbs up and then please comment, because these comments really uplift me, because feel like I'm being acknowledged. I know that's like when I'm needing that self-love, and I'm encouraging others to share that for me, or I'm needing like soothing music for myself, or I ask my husband to go away for a couple of days so, like, so I can come back to my own rhythm. Yeah. I know that's when my waning cycle's happening, and that's when I need that little progesterone support, the zen-like, you know, calming kind of a nutrient. So that's when I'm making the, you know, tea that will help me, the oils that will help me. Like sunflower seed oil can be really helpful during that time too. So doing that kind of thing, sprouting some of the beautiful sprouted broccoli sprouts and things, and making comfort foods. So that's how I know. And my moods get kind of a little bit low, maybe not as excited to be communicating with others, right? Mm-hmm. So I try to set my schedule based on that. But then on the other hand, because oxytocin is a short life, you know, lived kind of a, you know, hormone, right? And neurotransmitter. So you really need to support oxytocin throughout the cycles of the moon. But when I'm like, ooh, I'm going to reach out to Christine today, I look at the moon and go, yep, that makes sense, because I'm waxing and waxing and waxing. And I think you and I already know that's like when we don't hear from each other, we know we need to go into the underground, you know, we need to go to the dark side of the moon, and it's not always the light side of the moon, right?
Yeah.
And, but so if you feel kind of this like, oh, I want to reach out to my friend, or I do want to pick up a phone and call somebody, or you intuitively receive a phone call, you know, take a look at the moon cycles. I bet you, you are waxing. Mm-hmm. The moon is waxing and you're adding the light. And this is when testosterone is slowly coming up a little bit. Maybe estrogen is coming up. The oxytocin is naturally wanting to come up. So look for social engagements, look for communities, you know, put your face up on the Zoom calls, you know. So my face is never up on the Zoom calls when the moon is waning. Mm-hmm. And then I'll put myself out there if it's going into the full moon, because I feel like I can engage people better. So that's how I kind of go through the cycles of mine.
We're going to have a full moon in less than a week, you know, so this is good timing for you to do this, you know, interview that we're recording. But no, and you begin to think, you know, whether you have an illness out there and are trying to make sense and time your protocol, or just check in with how you're feeling and understand it, or just planning your life and just knowing that you don't have to be the same person every day, that you go through cycles and, you know, you need either extroverted energy or introverted energy, or, you know, what have you, and honoring that, because we don't live in a culture really that honors, like, oh, I'm not going to do a podcast because, you know, the moon is, you know, in the dark moon and I'm feeling introverted and I need a few, you know, a few more days. You know what I mean? Like, but if we align ourselves with the energy of life, then we have, you know, more alignment in life. And then, you know, my thought is there's just more energy for everyone, you know, whatever that means, you know. So no, I think this is such a fun and insightful conversation. And I guess as we start to wrap, Miss Ami, what are you looking into next? Like, I mean, you've been on this moon, you know, deep dive. Where is your study continuing to direct you with learning about the moon?
Well, I am writing a book, and then I am organizing each phase of the moon based on which organs we should be supporting and which organs will benefit the most from our support based on the lunar cycles. And I think where I want to go with that book eventually is to create kind of a movement around how we can move together like a school of fish. So this is truly kind of a quantum biology level at this point, right? Because this is the quantum field that we can all tap into. But I do feel, you know, when you're menstruating, you know, we've all had this, like if you had a college, roommate that's having menstruation cycles, and you kind of start to come together, and then the whole dormitory is having the same rhythm kind of a thing, right? Yeah. But as we go into the second half of our beautiful lives in the menopause and postmenopause, this quantum feels of we coming together, the cohesiveness, you know, coherence is just not happening, right? We're just kind of like islands of us, like all dotted everywhere, not knowing how do we come together and swim as a school of fish in the world of water, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's where I would love to see this work go, is that we create a movement that together as global women of certain age and up, that we can all come together and say, oh, are you doing those organs now, right now, this time of the month? Or, you know, oh, it's the full moon. Are you taking care of your, you know, melatonin level that is going down? And do you have a journal that you're working on? Or, you know, have you done these kind of teas and oils to support your progesterone? Like, we can just have that kind of a conversations and recognize and acknowledge that our rhythms continue, and that we are part of this larger cosmic orchestra. You know, we matter, each and every one of us matter, because, you know, we can't move alone. We're moving as a quantum field together. So that's where I would love to go. Yeah.
I love that. I'm on the same page. And so, hence our connection. And no, I so appreciate your time in this conversation. And you got my wheels turning for sure on, you know, my practice and how I can support patients better. And Miss Ami, please, you put out a lot of great content and can, you know, continually remind us of this connection. So please share, you know, with people how to find you, you know, anything you want to share about, you know, connecting with you and your work. I'd love for people to know.
Yes. So I talked to Dr. Christine about gifting all of you with the Year of the Dragon call that I did, because it's based on the lunar cycles of the year. So that will be available for you. And also you can look up MasamiCovey.com, just my name, MasamiCovey.com, and that'll be my website. I post lots of great information there, lots of videos, and I actually rotate supplements based on the lunar cycles as well. So those information is definitely up there, and it will be up there more and more. And you can go to my YouTube, which is just look up Masami Covey. And so far, there's only one Masami Covey on this earth. Yeah. So you won't miss it. Just Masami Covey on YouTube, and you'll find videos. I post 2 videos at least per month, one for the new moon and one for the full moon. So check that out.
Awesome. Well, we'll have all that great information in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for your wisdom today. So
thank you.
Thank you all for listening to the Spectrum of Health podcast. I hope you enjoyed my conversation today with Masami Covey. Please check out her free gift in the show notes. And thank you so much for being part of my podcast community. I am so grateful for each and every one of you. Have a beautiful day.